All right. Heavenly Father, we just bring tonight's study to you and ask that you would bless it, Lord, that your word, we know, if we stick to it, won't return void. It'll accomplish all that you set out for it to do, and we open our hearts up right now to you, Lord, and we're wanting you to speak to our hearts and to do your work in us and through us. And Father, if that means exposing sin in our hearts, then so be it. Help us, give us strength and power to repent and to walk in love and to walk in faith. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to look at a spiritual condition. You know, the last couple times I've given you some dessert, you know, the prophecy stuff. And tonight the Holy Spirit's kind of put things more meaty on the table for us tonight. So we're going to look at a spiritual condition that probably every one of us in the room suffers from time to time. And, you know, like I said before, I know I mentioned it last time I was up here. I'm a retired firefighter, and, you know, in responding to medical aid issues, you always want to look at signs and symptoms of what's taking place with your patient. And what we have here tonight is basically a hospital, a spiritual hospital. And some of us may have the conditions here and signs and symptoms of a much greater problem. And so we want to look at those signs and symptoms, but they're just descriptors of the side issues. We want to get to the root of the issue, okay? We want to get to the root of the problem, the main disease. You know, so often we go to doctors now and they give you a pill for symptoms instead of treating the disease. We want to get to the root core. So hopefully we can do that. And this is not going to be in depth. Like I said, I'm trying to get out of here by 8 o'clock. So I'm just going to graze over the top and let the Holy Spirit do the rest to each one of you. So then once we discover some of the signs and symptoms that we may be having with this spiritual condition, is we want to diagnose the real issue. And we want to develop a biblical plan to treat that spiritual condition. So that's our aim tonight. So as you're open up to James chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to go through the first 18 verses. I know that sounds like a lot, but we need to get the context, the full context of what James is writing about. And then we'll try to hone in just a little bit on our topic. And the topic is, I don't know if you put it up there already, Jan, but it's beware, your tongue is tied to your heart. Okay? And that'll become obvious here, hopefully. And notice this, too, that your speech reveals your heart condition. Okay? So how you talk, what comes out of your mouth, it says a lot about your heart condition. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at bitterness. Okay? I wanted to focus on bitterness more than anything else, but discovered as I studied this that that's just another symptom. Okay, we want to get to the root core of the problem. So we'll hopefully do that. And as we go through these first 18 verses, you know, I'm going to point out a couple of side issues and some things there. But before we get to James, I wanted to show you Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to him, near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they do is evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Okay? In other words, rash means don't get in a hurry to speak. We need to slow things down when we're here at the house of God, but we need to slow things down 24/7, okay, as it relates to our mouth. Sometimes our mouth gets engaged before our brain, and we say things and we put things out there that we wish we hadn't. And so hopefully after tonight we can be on top of that a little bit better. The rest of that says, for God is in heaven and you are on it, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. So that's kind of a reason why I don't talk much around here. I don't want to be responsible and accountable to everything I say. And I have had issues with things that I've said, and it's impacted people in a negative way. And so I'm learning this the hard way. So if I don't seem to be too talkative, that's one reason why. I want to be a man of few words, and I want to be a man of few words for another reason as well, and that is that when I speak, I want people to listen. So I try to, you know, it's not about not being wanting association or fellowship. It's just that I want to be careful that I don't harm somebody when they come into this church. And so I keep my mouth shut. At least I tried to, okay? So we need to slow our roll with our words, okay? And again, your words will reveal your heart. So let's get started. James 3, verse 1, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." Okay? And for me, again, I have stumbled in the past. I'm sure you've stumbled. Everyone in this room can probably relate with having said something that you shouldn't have, with the wrong heart, maybe with the wrong motivation. You might have said things to actually injure and harm, and that's a bad sign. Okay, that's a bad symptom. So, again, we're looking for signs and symptoms. So, again, a sign is something you see. So when you see somebody just shooting off at the mouth, watch out, beware, okay? But watch out for yourself more than anything else. And the symptom is what you hear from a patient. Not, a lot of times, you know, we say things and we offend people right off the bat. And a lot of times, and that's what I've done, is I've offended people without even trying. You know, I just seem to be able to say something and they get offended. And so we got to be careful with our words. But at the same time, as it relates to you receiving those words, you need to have a little bit of patience and understanding and grace and mercy too as well. And, you know, I'm going to just stop right there before I get off my notes. But in going into verse 3, he says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts." In other words, it shows off verbally great things. And a lot of times, you know, we try to present ourselves in a more glorious light than sometimes we really are. You know, and that's really an issue of pride, and we'll get more to that. And then going on, it says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Now, again, I've told you that I'm a retired firefighter, and, you know, I don't know if you know this, but lightning is on average anywhere from only 4 to 6 inches wide. And yet we've seen the destructive power of lightning in our community, right? And so just a little bit of heat in the right place and boom, you got a fire that you cannot control it. And that's our tongue. That's what we can do with our words. And so we need to be more careful as brothers and sisters in Christ in what we say, how we say it. You know, what's our motivation for saying things? And again, the most important thing is if you slow your roll and give the Holy Spirit a chance and run past him first what you want to say, you may do very well that way. If you don't, you're going to get into trouble. So there's a great forest fire that can be lit off. You can burn down your family. You can burn down this church with a word. And that's the truth. So moving on, it says in the tongue, verse 6, is a fire, a world of iniquity. In other words, it's full of unrighteousness, not right behavior. That's what that means. And Tony taught Sunday on about righteousness, but the tongue is filled with unrighteousness, okay? And we have, with the ability of our tongue, to really do damage. And so we need to be very careful. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles. In other words, it stains. It stains our whole walk before God and this world. That's where we get stained in our walks most of the time, is by what comes out of our mouth, which is, again, attached to our heart. So again, one thing leads to the other, and we need to be understand and be careful what we say, but also understand that if you're saying things, if you're lighting fires with your mouth, that's showing the rest of us the heart condition you have, right? Because it's all attached. It goes right down to your heart. You know, the Lord said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? We got more scriptures on that stuff in a bit. But so it's filled with unrighteousness. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles us, okay? The whole body. Your mouth, our mouths, and what we say can ruin our witness before the world and before the church, whoever, our families. And so we must be careful. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire by hell. Now James is writing this, and of course he was considered the bishop of Jerusalem. And right outside Jerusalem, I believe on the south side of Jerusalem in the Temple Mount there, was a place called the Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna. Okay, that's the Hellenistic name for it was Gehenna. That's also the same name used for hell. Okay, so James has and what happened here is in this Valley of Hinnom, it was a garbage dump. It's where they took all their garbage. Well, a fire got started, and of course, I don't know if you've ever seen a dump fire. They are extremely hard to put out. I've been on a few of them. Some of the stinkiest fires I've ever been on were dump fires, okay? And so James has an excellent picture of here of, because they had an example in their community of hellfire, stinky, hot, unable to put out sort of trash fire, a perpetual burning. It burned all the time, some days more so than others, but it was always on fire down there. And so James is indicating that what comes out of our mouths oftentimes can be like a perpetual trash fire. So, I mean, that's pretty vivid. I mean, think about your speech and the way you say things and the how you say things and what motivates you to say those things. That relates to a heart condition, okay? Whether it's a good heart or a bad heart, all right? So verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue, okay? It is impossible. Unbelievers don't have a chance. But as believers, we have a hope. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I took that out of context a little bit, just for the sake to point out that all things are possible with God. So if you are a Christian, you have the ability now, more than ever, to be able to control your tongue. Okay? And again, I think the slower we are at saying and talking and relating to people, especially when we get fired up, if we just slow down and start running things past the Holy Spirit before it comes out of our mouth, we'll do very well. But if we are quick to shoot off the lip, it'll get us in trouble every time. So now we've somewhat... Now the first step in recovery... you must turn to recover your mouth, or to gain control of your mouth, is you got to give your heart over to the Lord. Okay, that's essential. That's vital. That's number one. All right, you must have your heart surrendered to the Lord first. That's the only way it can be done. And you know, sometimes the way Christians talk, and even out of my own mouth, sometimes it's like, did I really say that? I mean, good grief. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, a teacher, and I'm going to be judged for everything, and so are you, by the way. According to what I read earlier, the scripture says we're basically going to all be judged for the things that we say and do. So how many, you know, want to stand before the Lord and have to answer for some of the things you've said? Anyway, so continuing on in verse 8. It is an unruly evil. In other words, it's unsubjugatable. That's a hard word to say. In other words, it won't come under the control, the tongue will not, without the Holy Spirit in your heart, cannot. It's impossible. Okay? Again, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so we have the ability to change the way we talk to, how we talk to one another, and to love one another. And I was kind of hoping that Donna would sing that song tonight that we've been singing for the last couple weeks, They Shall Know Us By Our Love, right? Well, I have a feeling they know a lot of us not by our love, but by our bitterness, our mouth. Because again, it's connected straight to our heart. So, continuing on, verse 8, and it says, full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. What comes out of our mouth kills, right? And it can be a slow death or a fast one. We can lop off arms and legs and heads, or we can just slowly poison a situation with what's with our mouth. But again, it's tied to our heart. It's a heart condition. Okay. With it, verse 9, we bless our God and Father. We just sang songs, okay, to the Lord. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. In other words, the image of God. We are imagers of God, and we have the, we curse one another sometimes by with what we say to one another. And we're created in his image. That's what James is trying to get the point across. Why are you doing this? This person is an imager of God. And yet you're tearing them down and making them look bad. And that's just not righteousness. It's not right. So with it, we bless God with our mouth. And then out of verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. In other words, they shouldn't happen this way. Things shouldn't, your mouth shouldn't do that. Okay. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Now, I have a habit. Whenever I come to a question in the scriptures, I make myself answer that question. So I'm going to make you answer that. I'm going to ask you the question. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No, it can't do it. Okay? So if you're having bitterness flow from your mouth, guess what? The heart's bitter as well. You need to go to the Lord. Okay? You need to get him again, make him the Lord of your life again in every situation. So that can happen. Okay, the answer was no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? You can't do it. Okay, so and he goes on and he says, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Okay. Now, yeah, it ain't me. Because you know what? As you go up in leadership in church, you're going to realize that God has chosen the biggest fools to lead the entire church. Okay. Paul reminded us of that in 1 Corinthians. He said, not many are wise, but that God has called the foolish ones to shame the wise. And the biggest fools are the ones that stand behind this pulpit. Okay, that's really the truth of the matter. And so not many of us are wise. And again, you know, there's a warning at the beginning of this. James said, don't be quick to become a teacher, because you're going to receive a stricter judgment. And I have been judged harshly at times, rightly so, for things that I've said. So we've got to all be careful. And you know what? God has chosen us all, and we all have been fools, okay? And so we need to really put this situation of our mouth under the control and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Continuing on, it says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And of course, to me, that word meekness means a gentleness of attitude and behavior, which includes our speech, in contrast with harshness in one's dealings with others. Sometimes we're just harsh. I mean, you know, all I got to do is say, you know, traffic light or lane change in front of you, and you know, here, here comes the curses while the worship music is playing on the radio, right? So, again, we got to be mindful of what's coming out of us, and we need to be gentle. We're supposed to be Christians, you know. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And there's no examples, really. You know, when Jesus, and people would say, well, Jesus, you know, called the Pharisees brood of vipers. We don't really know the tone that he used, but he did do it to their face. And he was righteous, okay? He was perfect. And so there is a time to call something what it is, but you do it to that person's face, not behind their back, not to undermine, not to clip or injure or stab in the back. And so often, many Christians, that's what we do. And we've got to stop that. So we need to be gentle. We need to be meek, mild people as it relates to what comes out of our mouth, okay? So when we say things about others, are we being gentle or are we being harsh? Okay? You know, we just need to really get on top of this as a whole. And again, I suspect you all struggle just like I do, all right? Blessing and cursing shouldn't be coming out of the same mouth, the same place. So here we see, let me get back to verse 14. And this is one of the key verses here. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now, here are the signs and symptoms again. This isn't the main issue, but we have a sign and some symptoms here. And bitterness, okay? And notice it says envy, okay? Those are two Greek words there put together. But the reality is it's resentfulness plus a particular strong feeling of resentment and jealousy against someone. Now, who do you resent? Who do you hold bitterness towards? Okay? Did a face pop before your mind right then when I asked that question? If someone did, if someone's injured you or you think you've been injured by them through something they've said or done, you're in trouble. You've got a heart condition and it is leading to bitterness. Okay, it's like an acid. The longer you hold on to acid, the deeper the burn gets. And so the more you burn, the more tissue damage, the more destruction. You know, third-degree burns, or the full-depth burns, burn up all of the feeling. There's nothing left after that. A person who has been burned third degree no longer will be able to feel in that region of their skin again, okay? And you become, it basically becomes dead. And that skin has been given to us as a protective layer to help us realize when things are hot or cold or what have you. And now, when bitterness has been in your heart and it's been burning and burning and burning, you're the one that's getting more injured than anybody else. But also, you start to splash it around with your tongue. Okay? The same burning, the same fire. It's all the same. And you start to destroy those around you. And so you need to really think about if there's anyone in your life who is, you've allowed this bitterness to continue to grow, and the very thought or the very picture put in front of your face, and you turn bitter and foul right away, that should be a clear sign to you that you haven't dealt with some heart issues. Okay, it's a deeper situation than just bitterness. All right, so it's jealousy against someone. That's what it is. Now, if you did see a face at that moment, if the Holy Spirit has shined a face in front of you, it may be a family member, a neighbor, an associate, worker, a co-worker, what have you, the Lord, the Holy Spirit right now is asking you, hey, let's deal with this right now. Let's deal with it tonight. Let's not let this go on any further. And I hope you will. You can know that if you did see someone's face there, the Holy Spirit's knocking on your door, okay? Now, some other words to capture what James is saying here, just to hone in on this a little bit deeper, is that you have anger issues, okay? You have a dislike, a hatred. You take offense at the thought of this person, or you hear their voice in the background, and immediately you start to grind you know, that's a sign of a heart condition you have. And it's a deep, dark condition, and God wants to deal with those things. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, now that's another one right there, self-seeking. What is self-seeking? What does that boil down to? What can you imagine? Pride. That's what it is. And you know, God puts us in churches together, okay? You're here tonight, we're all here together. And I probably parked in your parking spot, or someone probably sat in your seat, right? God has put this group together so that we might rub on one another, so that we would bring to the surface the pride that each one of us have in our own hearts. Okay, that's how he works. That's how the Holy Spirit, that's why he wants us to come together, is to rub on one another. Okay, and when that happens, it exposes in us pride. Who better to get in our face about our own pride than a brother in Christ? Isn't it better that that happen in a church than it does out on the road or at work or in the home? Right? Shouldn't we receive the rub from brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, and so often you see, and we have seen here, that people rub and they run, you know? And not everybody, but I'm just saying, you know, God has put this group of people under this roof for us to rub, to discover the pride so that we can repent from that and get our hearts right before the Lord. Self-seeking is pride, okay? Selfish ambition. This implies a rivalry with that person when you get rubbed. It means enmity, conflict. You refuse to cooperate with this person to any degree. Is there anybody in that in your life, especially a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ? But not only believers, unbelievers as well. God wants you to restore relationships not only in the church and in the family of God, but also outside. Because you don't know that if you surrender your heart to the Lord and you start to fix these things, and the Holy Spirit's caused you to realize tonight that you have resentment against somebody, you know that as long as you hold that resentment, they'll probably never come to Christ. But if you obey the Holy Spirit, if you repent from that sin and you go to that person and you be reconciled to that person, how do you know that won't be their first step towards Christ? And you remember Bill a couple of weeks ago said that we should be bringing people closer to Christ wherever we go, every encounter that we have. We should be bringing people one step closer to Christ. And it may be that reconciliation. It may be tonight that the Holy Spirit's showing you somebody that you hate their voice. You might hate my voice. You know, you can't stand the thought of them, you know, being in your presence. And that's a sign and a symptom of a problem you have, okay? And we've all got people. I mean, we got to deal with these things in a biblical way, all right? Now, remember that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. So if you have resentment towards another brother or sister in Christ or an unbeliever, or who, it doesn't matter who, there's right now, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart and you having hatred for somebody, right, that puts you at odds with the Holy Spirit. You're no longer walking in obedience now. That you're actually the Lord is not the Lord of your life at that moment. And we all say that Christ is our Lord and Savior, right? And yet if we have resentment towards someone, if we have anger towards anyone, and we don't do it the right way, we don't do it the biblical way, we hold on to it, it damages us, it damages our witness and our testimony, and you never know, that person may not be saved through you because you are unwilling to surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit. You see, that's a deep, dark heart condition, okay? So think about that as a believer, that if you hold resentment in your heart where your Holy Spirit dwells, where the Holy Spirit dwells, there's a war going on in there, okay? Not peace. You can't have peace when you have resentment, okay? Now, worse than that, okay, now we're going to go even one step worse, and this is what a lot of Christians don't understand who harbor resentments in their hearts. Let's read verse 15. It says, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are right there." You realize that? That when you hold onto resentment, you have just given your... Now, I don't believe one bit that a believer in Jesus Christ can be possessed by a demon. It is impossible. Where light dwells, darkness can't be there. Okay? That's the truth. But, and a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but they can be demon-oppressed. Okay? You can allow a demon to have impact, more authority over your life than the Holy Spirit when you hold resentment in your heart. You understand that? You are now captive by the enemy when you have anger at somebody. And we're talking about unrighteous anger here, not righteous anger. There's a time to be angry, and we'll see that maybe later on. Now, so I don't know if you ever thought of that before, that when you see someone who is just, you know, they say they're a Christian and they are filled with bitterness and resentment, they are being oppressed by the enemy. There is no peace in that person's life. And they are harming their witness and testimony before God and man. And that's a dangerous place to be. And you don't want to be there. I don't have to ask the question and have you raise your hand to agree with me with that. So it's demonic oppression. It's evil. All right? So that's how dark a person who has become is. They've become under the influence of demons now, and what them speaking into your ear, which goes down into your heart and then comes out. Okay? You are no longer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's either one or the other. All right? So if you harbor any resentment, anger for anybody, you need to deal with it, and quickly. All right? You've come under the influence of a demonic activity. All right. So there are signs and symptoms of not dealing with this issue of anger. Now, we're going to look at real briefly, and I'm got to hurry. Ephesians 4:25 through 27. Now, there's several verses you could go to look at anger, okay? But we're just going to look at this one tonight for the sake of time. Ephesians 4:25 through 27 says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." You see, right there. I have applied this to my marriage. I would not let, if Karen and I were at odds with one another, I would not let us go to bed unless we dealt with it so that the devil or a demon could not enter in and create more problems than we needed in our marriage. I wanted to deal with it right now, and that's what Paul is saying in this verse is when he says, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath," he's saying, deal with it today, right today, as soon as possible. And it's on you. Whether it's justified wrath or not, it's on you. You need to deal with it for your sake, okay? And not only for your sake, but the sake of the person you're angry with. Now, again, we're talking about, and it said, be angry and do not sin. There's a time to be angry, okay? But the time that we get angry the most is when we're offended, right? And a lot of us as Christians we're thick-hearted and thin-skinned rather than being thick-skinned and soft-hearted. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as soon as you get hit with something, and it may not, like I said, there's been times when I've offended people without even trying. You know, you need to quickly go and, hey, when you said that, did you mean it this way? Or, you know, and remember, Tony's always telling us from right here that we need to believe all things for people, give them the benefit of the doubt when they do say something and it kind of hits you a little bit and you're kind of like, wow, I wonder how they meant that. Well, I'm just going to assume that they meant it for my good. and bless God and forget about it, or go to that person and say, hey, you know, let's talk about what you said there. I want to know, what is there something I've done to offend you? Is that why you said that? And you get the relationship repaired, and you do it as soon as possible so that the demons don't have any chance in operating in our church or in your family, okay? So that's why we want to do this. We want to do it quickly. So resentment, bitterness develops from self-seeking anger that is not dealt with appropriately. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, so that's the diagnosis right there, okay? The diagnosis, okay, remember we were looking for signs and symptoms. We were talking about bitterness. But the diagnosis is this. The spiritual heart condition is pride. Okay, the root of it all is pride. God, when you've been hit and hurt by what somebody has said, whether it's true or not, a little bit of pride just got rubbed out or exposed on the surface for you to deal with. Okay, God wants you to deal with it. Okay? And you might have used a brother to expose you. That's a good thing. Okay? Because you should be able to go to a brother and sister in Christ and say, hey, let's talk. But so often that's not what we do. We go home, we sit, 2 o'clock in the morning, now we're thinking about, you know, what that person said. 6 o'clock in the morning, we wake up, we're in a bad mood because we haven't got any sleep because we've been thinking about what that person said and let it eat us up all night long. And now it's governing our day. The first part of our day when we should be in devotion and prayer and worshiping God, and you're just grumbling and griping, and you're going to get back now. You're going to get back, and you're not going to deal with it biblically, and it's just going to get worse from there. So we need to be quick to spin this around on the enemy. We're so foolish sometimes when we don't see the enemy trying to work. So it's pride. The diagnosis here is pride. So now we know what the major problem is. If I know I've got cancer and the doctor says, hey, you got cancer, I got to believe I got cancer, and I'm going to tell him, hey, you know, do whatever it takes to get it out of here. That's the way our hearts need to be. Lord, I just found a bunch of sin in my heart. I want to get it out of me. Okay? You get right here and you get right here, vertical and horizontal. If you're not one right one way, you're not right the other way. Okay? Deal with it quickly. Deal with your pride quickly. And that pride comes up as self-seeking anger. Now that we know that we have a problem, okay, now we can, and the issue is pride, we can now deal with it in a biblical way. We can plan out how to deal with this. Now we're going to do that here in a second. We're going to look at Ephesians 4:30, and it'll be up on the board here. And Paul writes, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Again, when we have resentment and bitterness in our hearts towards somebody, we're grieving God. You understand? I mean, that's a horrible place to be in. Who wants to do that? You know, we want to love God. We want to bless God with our lives. We can't do it. All right. So by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Take out the garbage, okay, with all malice. And be kind to one another. There it is, okay? So there's one thing you want to do first, and that is get that anger out of your heart. Get it away from you. Reject it. Take every thought captive. Make it obedient to Christ, okay? And then now, once you've done that, you've dealt with the anger, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Right? That is the plan right there. That's how we deal with it. We do it quickly. We get it out of us. We confess. We recognize and confess to the Lord that we have selfish anger. We make the decision to get it out of our hearts. We destroy it, in other words. We make the decision to be kind and tenderhearted in spite of what somebody's done or said to us. And we choose love and forgiveness instead of anger, okay? And then the step four would be to forgive that person who caused the anger in your heart because Christ has forgiven you. You see, we're obligated now. You're no longer your own. you don't have a right to those emotions anymore, right? And you're not to walk by emotions, you're to walk by faith, right? All right, Matthew 18, Jesus tells a story. I'm going to go through this quickly. Or actually, Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often, and we're in Matthew 18, so if you want to flip over there, verse 21, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now what Jesus is saying is not saying is keep a list. He's saying the exact opposite. Don't have lists on people who have treated you wrong. Again, if you're dealing with those issues biblically, you're doing it in a hurry, and you're doing it right, and you're doing it for the glory of God and for forgiveness because you've been forgiven, that's what God wants you to do. That's how you need to deal with it. But he goes on, he says, therefore, and he tells this story now, and he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, this is a heap of money, okay? This guy's in great debt. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. The Lord was moved with compassion to forgive us our sins. We need to be that same mind frame and with compassion offer up the same thing here. Released him and he forgave him that debt. Okay? That's the same way we're supposed to be. Okay? But that servant went out, that same servant who had been forgiven much, okay, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, not even barely a day's wage, laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw that he had, what he had done, in other words, the first guy who forgave the debt, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that they had been done. Then the master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father, and here it is, folks, I'm laying it out right there, verse 35, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. If you're in that condition right now, you're in a dangerous place. You're in a scary place. You know, if we're not willing to offer forgiveness, we've cried out for the Lord's forgiveness for all of our sins, but if we're not willing to forgive others around us who make some silly, stupid mistakes, say something they shouldn't have said or did something or, you know, offended us, and we're not willing to forgive, man, that's in bad shape. That's bad heart condition. So to finish, I want to finish in James, back over to James, finish the last couple of verses, because again, we have the plan here of how to biblically treat this problem. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see, it's a hypocrite that wants forgiveness but won't give it. Okay? Those are the brood of vipers that Jesus confronted face to face with. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We're supposed to be like Christ, being peacemakers. So I would challenge you again tonight, if the Holy Spirit has flashed someone before your face that you hold resentment towards, please deal with it soon. Don't let another day go by. Get right before God, go to that person, be reconciled. Are you willing to yield to the Holy Spirit in this area of bitterness and anger? If not, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you will not yield, the Lord is not your Lord. Recognize your selfish anger early. Deal with it biblically. For those who will not, I would consider the words that Jesus left us with that verse 35 over in Matthew 18. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Amen? Amen. All right, so worship team, come on up. Now again, as they come up and get ready and we worship, you know, just if the Lord has shown you somebody that you're harboring, you know, hatred and anger and all those things, acknowledge your sin to the Lord. Deal with it. Repent. Repent means have a changed mind about the whole situation. Allow God to have your ear and your brain instead of the demons. And destroy all that selfish anger. Don't let the devils get a foothold in your life. Forgive from the heart. All right? All right, so let's worship with this one last song. If you would stand up, and we'll praise God.